Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Welcome on in, everybody. Happy Thursday. We got a big Thursday night football game tonight. Well, big in the sense of is the best team in the NFL playing tonight. We'll get into all that. The Broncos are looking real good. They've won five consecutive games in a row. So Broncos absolutely on a roll. They're facing off against the Raiders tonight. There's some Miami Heat news as well. Bam Adebayo is going to be out. The Heat are already without Tyler Hero, so injuries stacking up for the Miami Heat. The whole Kevin Durant situation with Ja Morant's father has me fascinated as well. Ja Morant suspended after that crazy game. And then Kirk Ferentz joined Rich Eisen and said some interesting things about the head coaching firings within the NCAA on the football side. Obviously, Ferentz, the head coach of Iowa. But we got plenty to get into today. Mike Rizzo back and ready to roll. Colin Russo on assignment today. Christian Cat on assignment today. But I got Cade Chumslin behind the glass. Cade, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Yes, welcome sir. In. Good to see you, my friend. It's been a minute, just us two.
Absolutely. It's been a while, but I'll tell you what. We got plenty of NFL to discuss because, Cade, I want to throw the question out there to our listeners. 888-760-3776. Who's the best team in the NFL right now? Because what we're going to go through here right now is there are a lot of similar teams. There are a lot of teams with two losses. There are a lot of teams, I think, that are very kind of near the level of each other. And I don't think that there's that one team that's separating themselves. In years past, the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, I think the Philadelphia Eagles had a little bit of that. But for the last couple of years in the NFL, it's always been the boogeyman of the Chiefs. The Chiefs were going for a three-peat last year. They were the two-time defending Super Bowl champ. You don't really have that unstoppable team this year. So I'm asking you, if you want to call in 888-760-3776, who is your best team and why? That's what I want to know. Who is your best team and why? It's your best team in the NFL right now and why? 888-760-3776. As I mentioned, Kate Chumslin behind the glass. He will be answering the calls. And we're going to do the power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage coming up in the next segment. So I'll let you guys know exactly where I think all of these teams fall when it comes to the top teams in the NFL. But right now, if I had to...
Number one.
If I had to pick the best team in the NFL, it's got to be the Seahawks. Call me crazy. It's got to be the Seattle Seahawks. I was really impressed with that victory over the Commanders. Now, we could sit here and talk about if the Commanders stink or not, because they might stink. All right, Jaden Daniels is injured. I think that whole fascination with Dan Quinn, I think that's we're starting to pump the brakes a little bit. We're starting to see the Dan Quinn that was in Dallas for years. But I do think that Seattle right now, Dan Quinn in Atlanta. Quinn was the defensive coordinator in Dallas. Actually did a great job, got him the job. But you get what I'm saying. The Dan Quinn that got fired in the Falcons, I think is starting to come out a little bit with the Commanders. But I think with the Seahawks, I think they play the best complementary football in the NFL, meaning offense, defense, and special teams. Defensively, they're a top unit in the NFL. And offensively, they have a great run game with Walker and a stable of running backs. They have one of the best receivers in the NFL in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And I think one of the best moves that was made in the offseason was shipping DK Metcalf out. They got a second-round pick out of that, too. So, and then the question of, is Sam Darnold the long-term answer? I'll tell you what. You think he looked like the long-term answer against the Commanders? Kay, did Sam Darnold look like the long-term answer against the Commanders in that first half where he single-handedly won me my fantasy matchup in two quarters and I was down 20 points in the game?
You know, I picked him up mid-season in fantasy.
Dude, I picked him up this week.
Yeah.
Or this past week.
Yeah.
Because Baker was on a bye. I had Baker Mayfield. And who's been stinking, by the way, fantasy-wise? Obviously, Tampa Bay having a great year. They're 6-2 coming off their bye week. But I picked up Darnold as well on waivers, and he single-handedly won me in a must-win week. But, Kate, with how well Darnold played and how well he's kind of played all season long, it's kind of hard to argue that this was a great move by Seattle moving on from Geno Smith and inserting Sam Darnold.
Not only has it been the right move and the move for the future, but, Mike, I am so proud of you right now. Like, we've butt heads before, but, like, the fact that you said Seattle out of all 32 teams has me so proud, because this Seattle team is one of my top two teams in the NFL. I would probably lean the Rams just because of experience with Matthew Stafford in that core, but as a whole, this Seattle Seahawks is quite literally the hottest team in the NFL, with one of the most explosive offenses with a two-led running back system and Jackson Smith and Jigba, who is, would you argue, top three wide receiver
right now
in the NFL?
Absolutely. Right now he is. I'd have to go back and look at the wide receiver yardage number, Cade, but I know about 2 weeks ago.
Well, he leads the league.
Yeah, that's what
he
I mean.
Leads
two,
the league.
So 2 weeks ago I looked, he led the league, and he's still leading it. So I think that he, I don't want to say like DK and him are button heads. Like I think that's the wrong way to put it. I just think he is a clear cut number one receiver that needed to kind of get the treatment of that, get the bulk of the targets, not have to worry, you know, about getting DK and Smith and Jigba the ball. But it's been, if I could be a Buckeye homer real quick, it's been like that for all the Ohio State receivers this year. You know, Olave is starting to turn a corner, even with that horrible quarterback play with the Saints. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's had his, you know, trials and tribulations to begin the year, but he looked pretty good on Monday Night Football. I'm losing track of my days, Cade, where he had a touchdown from Jacoby Brissett. And then Emeka Egbuka, who's, you know, Egbuka, I don't want to say is in line to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. There are a couple of people I think that can get the award. But 888-760-3776. Cade, you're going with the Rams. I'm going with Seattle. I do think that right now the Seattle Seahawks deserve it after that big win. And in they've been the best team, at least in my opinion, Kate. I know the Rams and the Seahawks both in that same division. But to be 6-2 for both of those teams, to be 6-2 at this point in that division with Seattle, and with Seattle kind of controlling their own destiny right now with big wins already within the division, I think there's a lot to be said there. You know, head coach McDonald has done a fantastic job over there with Seattle. Now, I mentioned Denver. There have been a lot of rumblings from talking heads and, you know, people who cover the league that think Denver is that team. The Hall of Fame head coach in Sean Payton, the best defense statistically in the NFL. Now, I think, you know, Surtain obviously injured, but the fact that they're able to overcome the best corner in the league being out and still being an elite unit. And Cade, I'll kind of give you the floor here, because Denver beat your Texans. If you're watching on the YouTube stream at ESPN West Palm, Cade's got his Texans garb on. You know, they beat the Texans 18-15. Not a lot of that had to do with offense. A lot of it had to do with that defense for the Denver Broncos.
It did. I mean, CJ Stroud did go out in the second quarter, so they were playing on a backup quarterback. But this Broncos team, I've actually been more impressed on the comeback they've had this entire season. I mean, you win that week one game barely against the Titans, and then you lose back-to-back against the Colts and Chargers, and we're like, oh, wait, hold on. I thought this Broncos team was supposed to be legit.
Right.
They have since rattled off 6 straight wins against not only just some decent teams, we're talking the Philadelphia Eagles, handing them their first loss. A Giants team where they came back with one of the most historic fourth quarter comebacks ever. A Cowboys team, which we finally thought was starting to turn a corner, put 44 on their heads, and then went up against, I would say, the best defense in the NFL. They're still leading the NFL in scoring defense. You put up 18, and you put up a defensive performance that did not allow a single touchdown in that game. The Broncos are riding high. The Broncos not only have an easy schedule coming up, the rest of the AFC has kind of come down to their level. They are leading this conference, tied with the Colts.
Yep.
But you get what I'm saying.
I do.
They're coming into their own just like they wanted to be.
Kate, 7 wins in a row, and I stand corrected. I said 5 earlier. Kate is right. It is 6. I forgot that they were 1-2. You know, I forgot they started the season at 1-2, dropped 2 games. Kate, they could be 8-1 with how they lost in Indianapolis.
100%.
Go back to that Indianapolis loss where the guy jumped the center. You know, you don't jump the center there. That's a win. You got 8 wins on the board.
Chargers came back and beat them in the fourth quarter, too. This could be an undefeated team. And look at their schedule, Rizzo. Raiders, Chiefs, Commanders, Raiders. That's their next 4 games. And they always play the Chiefs good.
So you
could look at 4 straight wins right there. The Packers are tough. The Jaguars are looking vulnerable. Then you got the Chiefs again and the Chargers again. You are looking at one of the easiest schedules, along with the Patriots, who are also 7-2. But could you imagine us talking about Broncos and Patriots vying for the number one seed AFC?
Kate, I love it. Get the new blood in. I'm sick of the Buffalo, the kids. Even though I listen, as a miserable Brown fan, I appreciate the Buffalo fan. All right, gotta say. But I'm kind of sick of the old garb of, oh, it's Kansas City. Oh, it's Baltimore. Oh, let's get some new blood in there. Sign me up for Drake May and sign me up for Bo Nix. And I was dead wrong about Drake May. Quickly, we'll get back to the Broncos in a second because I mentioned Drake May. I didn't see it. Honest to God, I didn't see it with Drake May coming into where and he got drafted. I can't believe he was a top pick in the draft. I go back to, I think it's because of what Mitch Trubisky and what happened with him with the Bears. And granted, you got to get those, it's on me to get those blinders off of like, hey, just because he went to this school doesn't mean he's going to fizzle out in the NFL. But I was dead wrong about Drake May. They've been playing great. We'll get to the Pats in a second. Because I want to talk about that Denver Bronco quarterback in Bo Nix. Does he have the best numbers in the NFL? Absolutely not. Does he throw the prettiest ball? Does he throw the tightest spiral in the NFL? Probably not. But dude's a gamer. You know, Colin and I talk about it on this program all the time. He's got that Baker kind of dog in him where he's going to do what he has to do to win the football game. And it might not look pretty, but in the end of the day, he's Sean Payton's guy. And I think Sean Payton may be a bit overrated. He is a Hall of Fame coach. I'm sorry. Like, he is a Hall of Fame coach. Did he not do great things with Breeze some years in New Orleans? I mean, we could have a discussion about that. But he's a Super Bowl winning coach. He got robbed of going to a Super Bowl, I believe, back the year of 2017, 2018 with that ridiculous interference call in the back of the end zone. But this is a guy in Bo Nix who got hand-selected by Payton. Now, we could take Sean Payton for face value or not when he says, hey, this was our guy the entire way. We planned on picking him. I think probably maybe he would have wanted some of the guys higher up on the board in a quarterback-rich draft if you rewind 2 years ago. But if we take Payton for face value, Nix was his guy. And it looks like Bo Nix is going to turn into that Baker-esque kind of quarterback that's going to be a gamer. I mean, there's seven, but with him and Baker combined this year, Tampa Bay and Denver, 13-4, pretty good. Pretty good. And like, Mayfield has put up the stats in years past for Tampa Bay, but, like, Nix isn't going to throw for the most touchdown passes. He's not going to throw for the most yards in the NFL, but he's going to get the job done, and he's going to win you football games. I'm a big fan of Bo Nix. And, Cade, I think a lot of it has to do with how much college football he played, and I think that's the new, I don't want to say the new norm when it comes to drafting quarterbacks in the NFL, but I feel like a lot of guys recently who've come out with experience in the NFL have played well.
That's rich coming from you with Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I was, you know, let's avoid that. By the way,
but I do hear what you're saying.
By the way, Dylan Gabriel, if I can, you know, if I can go on a tangent, what I've heard from people in Cleveland is that Kevin Stefanski was the one who rated Gabriel. Everyone else in the league rated Gabriel, Cade, as like a, you know, seventh round pick. The Browns selected that guy in the third round. I mean, did you watch that New England? Browns were on a bye last week. I mean, that New England game, it looked like he didn't even know how to play the position. And the whole thing I keep hearing about Shador Sanders, and listen, folks, Shador Sanders may very well stink, okay? But all I know is, how ready does Dylan Gabriel look to you to play in the NFL? I keep hearing about Shador. He's not ready. He's not ready. He's not ready. Is Dylan Gabriel ready? Come on. So, like, I can't sit here and pad the back of Kevin Stefanski of, oh, good job, Kevin. You're not playing this kid because he's not ready. Dylan Gabriel looks like a deer in headlights, and that's a nightmare. But right now, we're talking about the best teams in the NFL.
I needed to make sure you're okay. You've been gone a few days. Right. I wanted to make sure Mike Rizzo was back in there. I'm good. So I'm cool.
Brother, I'm good. I promise you I'm good. I had some personal things that I've been dealing with. I'm all good. But, you know, as far as the Browns are one of the worst teams in the NFL. We were talking about one of the, you know, some of the best teams, the teams that are starting to separate themselves within the NFL. Cade and I have gone through Seattle, Denver. You mentioned the Rams, too. I'm right there with the Rams. McVay still has a long time to coach, at least in my opinion. I know that there were rumblings that maybe McVay was soon to be retiring 2 years ago. That's kind of gone away a little bit. But, Cade, with Matt Stafford and how great he's been, even with the back injury, right? He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He is a quarterback who's won the big one. And a lot of that changed when he joined up with McVay. So, Kate, I'll kind of give you the floor here for the Rams because Nacua has been fantastic. They got a good pass rush. That defense is starting to turn a corner as well. You think the Rams are the number one team in the NFL?
I think they are. They're sitting right now at 6-2. Their losses are fantastic when you just consider the Eagles, who they should have beat if it wasn't for a blocked field goal, and the 49ers, who they should have beat if they could just have run 1 yard in overtime against the 49ers. Otherwise, they not only win, but they also dominate against teams. 17-3 against the Ravens, 35-7 against the Jaguars, 34-10 against the Saints, 33-19 against the Titans. I say this on high school football game day. We do a post-game show every Friday night, myself, Theo, Brian Rowitz, and I say that I like ranking teams who beat down on the teams they're supposed to. Mm. If you're letting worse talent play up to your level or you play down to their level, that means you're not trying to attack every single play, every single down. The Rams, to me, know when they smell blood in the water and they go and attack it. They leave no doubt about it. And the fact that their two losses have come down to the final play of the game, another team you could consider undefeated in the NFL right now, led by an all-timer in Matthew Stafford, two healthy wide receivers in Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, a great running back in Kyren Williams. This defense is playing up to a level that we did not necessarily expect. We thought the offense would have to carry them. Defense is definitely holding their own. In an NFC where the Eagles are weaker than we thought, Packers and Detroit are weaker than we thought, and an NFL as a whole that has a lot more parity than we're used to, the Rams are the team that stick out to me as the one that can now rise above, especially come playoff time.
Let me ask you this, Kate. I mentioned that I don't think there's that super team of the Chiefs, the Eagles of years past. Are you there with the Rams? Are they that team that is clearly better than everybody else that has two losses?
No, absolutely not. They're the team I trust when the moments matter late this season.
I think that's good for the NFL. I think the fact that we can't look at a team and go, yep, they're the best team. I think that's great because you asked me, or rather you declared that we could possibly see New England. And who was the second team that
Denver,
you mentioned?
Because they're both 7-2.
You mentioned that we could see those two teams in the AFC Championship. Bro, sign me up. God, I'm sick of the Chiefs. Chiefed out, right? What does Dog say? We're chiefed out. I am beyond chiefed out with that. And I was glad that Buffalo was able to win that game. And then once again, we're going to be going through all of these teams coming up when we make our power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Coming up next in segment number two. But I'm asking right now, 888-760-3776. We're taking calls. 888-760-3776. Who do you think the best team in the NFL is right now and why? Who's the best team in the league right now and why? That's 888-760-3776. Before we go to a timeout, I want to give a shout-out to my good friends at Hard Rock Bet, because I'll tell you what, I know that the popular pick tonight will be Denver. The Raiders are terrible. And listen, kudos to our boss and program director here at ESPN 106.3, Brian Rowitz. You know, he's taking the wife and kids to that game tonight. I give him a lot of credit. The biggest Raider fan I know, Brian, he might see a 30-3 stomping. Now, Broncos struggle to put up a lot of points. I understand the point. But, like, I don't give the Raiders much of a chance tonight. But I give Brian a lot of credit, who's going and seeing his team in Mile High coming up tonight. And I mentioned Hard Rock Bet. Folks, that's how you got to do these games. And some of these games that are probably going to be a lopsided, throw some action. Sprinkle a little action on that first touchdown. Sprinkle a little action on a couple of the player props. Take a look at Bo Nix's upcoming passing yards. Is he going to go over or under? Is he going to have a rushing touchdown? Anytime touchdowns, you can build same-game parlays. That's all with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. And if you're feeling a little groggy, maybe sprinkle a little money on that line on the Raiders coming up tonight with Hard Rock. Kyle and I are always putting together fun little parlays. Be looking out for on our socials at ESPN West Palm. We're always putting together our parlays of the weekend. That is with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That is 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Mike Rizzo, Kate Chumslin, Kate filling in for Christian Cat. Colin Russo on assignment today. We are Russo and Rizzo today, and we're coming right back on ESPN 106.3.
Yeah, man. Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
We will be speaking to Mike Tannenbaum coming up at 5:30. So Mike T coming up at 5:30. We'll break down all of the kind of drama, right, with the trade deadline coming up that's happened in the NFL. The Jets have been busy. Cowboys busy. So we'll go through the latest NFL news with Mike Tannenbaum. And I'll ask Mike the question I'm asking you today, 888-760-3776. Who's your best team in the NFL right now? That's at 888-760-3776. Mike Rizzo and Kate Chumslin, we are Russo and Rizzo today on ESPN 106.3. I mentioned to you that we got to get to our power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Let's do exactly that on Russo and Rizzo.
Who's moving up?
Eagles still best team in the NFL. You know that they're not distracted.
Who's moving down?
I'm down on the Packers. This is going to be a major problem. We'll see.
It's time for the Russo and Rizzo NFL Power Rankings. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, if you're moving soon, I do not want you to stress it. You're going to call my guy Spiro over at Good Greek Moving and Storage for your relocation solution. From packing and storage, the local and long distance moves, Spiro and his team at Good Greek Moving and Storage got you covered from start to finish. Trusted by families, businesses, and sports teams like the Hurricanes and the Heat for 2 decades. Folks, these are the movers you can trust. These are the movers that you got to run to the store. You got to run to Home Depot. You forgot something. These are the movers you could trust to leave at home with your family because they every mover that works for Good Greek Moving and Storage has been through the Spiro Superhero Movers Academy. So for your next move, I want it to be safe and stress-free with the world's only total relocation company. That's my good friends at Good Greek Moving and Storage. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of my friends coming up at the Magic game on Sunday. But Cade, it is time now to get into it with number 10.
Number 10.
So how we usually start this too, all right? We like to mention our 12 and 11. Who are the first two teams out? And Cade, what I got for you guys, what I got for everybody today, it's Green Bay.
Really?
And the Chargers.
Out of
the top 10. Green Bay is 5-2-1 on the season. That Panther loss was bad. And I got to start punishing. Listen, you lose to the Panthers at home when you had every single chance in that game. The Packers had to win that game. They had every chance to win that. Let me retry that. They had every chance to win that game at the end of the game, and Jordan Love couldn't move the ball. So they are out. And then the Chargers, my God, they flirted with disaster with the Titans, who very well might be the worst team in the NFL, maybe behind the Saints. But those are my first two teams out, and I will say, the second most impressive win in the NFL probably went to a team that's not in my top 10 and who's probably 13th on that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers beat a very hot Indianapolis team at home in Pittsburgh. Very impressive. So I gave you three. Those are three teams that I have out. 13, Pittsburgh. 12, the Chargers. 11, Green Bay. And now...
Number 10.
Number 10. Kate, I'm going with Kansas City. I still have Kansas City at number 10. They lost to the Bills 28-21. And I mentioned the most impressive victory over the weekend. That goes to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo is way, way towards the top. We'll get to them in a little bit. But Cade was surprised that Kansas City dropped that at home because historically, that's a game that they're usually able to win against Buffalo.
Not necessarily in the regular season, though, because Buffalo, I believe, is 5-1 in the regular season against Kansas City, off maybe by a few games. Mm-hmm. But Buffalo owns them in the regular season. Kansas City owns them in the playoffs. And honestly, that was a way bigger game about how Kansas City lost rather than the loss itself. They didn't even look good in the game. Patrick Mahomes is looking off right now, which is a little scary considering if the playoffs started today, KC would be on the couch.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And listen, I'm it's not like I'm a Mahomes hater. Like I don't dislike the Chiefs. I don't, but get some new blood in there. God, it'd be great to have a playoffs without Kansas City. But Kansas City, I feel like they were playing good ball heading into this game. I understand your point, Katie. You know, Mahomes didn't play well in the game. But I think this has more to do with Buffalo. You know, Buffalo lost their two games early on. Everyone started freaking out. And here we are, Buffalo rattling off a couple of games in a row. But we'll get to them in a little bit. Kansas City, number 10.
Number 10.
Now let's move on to...
Number 9.
I got Detroit fitting here at 5-3. They lost to the Vikings 27-24. Kate, I know you come from a family with a lot of Viking fans. J.J. McCarthy, he had a pretty decent enough game. You know, he didn't look like that quarterback that what should have been a fourth or a fifth round pick like he did early on. But give McCarthy credit. He did enough to win the football game, and the Vikings beat the Lions 27-24. We've had the Lions as high as 2 on this list in weeks past. But with them sitting at 5-3, I got to put them at 9 with that loss to Detroit. Cade, thoughts on that?
No, that's fair. I maybe would put them a little bit higher. But honestly, yeah, you got to punish some teams when they lose. And so far, we've had a lot of losses at the top of the list.
Totally. And I think this is week to week. Like, the biggest thing I want to get clear here, these are week to week power rankings. And Colin and I, we usually like punishing the teams that lose. And the teams that have been punished, Detroit, Kansas City, Green Bay, that I want to say the Chargers, they won. They got punished because of the way they won, 27-20, you know, against a bad Titan team. But Green Bay, probably the worst loss out of the batch. Panthers at home, followed by Kansas City and Detroit. But it is now time. We're going to do these next two quick fashion because...
Number 8. Number 7.
They were idle, meaning they were on a bye. I got Tampa Bay at 8, Philadelphia at 7. Both of these teams at 6-2. For the record, these next 8 teams, including the two I just mentioned, right, with Tampa Bay and Philadelphia, the next 8 teams we talk about... our two-loss football teams. How crazy is that? That's why, like, I started the show off today. By the way, 888-760-3776. If people still want to get involved, who's your best team in the NFL right now and why? Because these next 8 teams I go through, I don't want to say there's not a lot of things separating them, but there really isn't. Like, I mentioned these are week by week. And the reason I have these two teams that...
Number 8.
And
number 7.
It's because they didn't play. And the rest of the teams on this list outside of Indianapolis won. But I got to go with Tampa at 8, and I got to go with Philadelphia at 7. That will change if they win games this week and move on to 7-2. I'm a big fan of Tampa Bay. I took Tampa Bay's over of 9.5 before the season started with plus odds. Trust me, we're big Baker fans on this show. Baker bros. And then Philadelphia, I mean, Philadelphia is... We talked a lot today about who is that team that might be able to separate themselves from the rest of the riffraff with the two lost teams. Philadelphia could very well be that team. Philadelphia is the defending Super Bowl champs. And I don't care what people say, I still think they have a great defense. And I think Jalen Hurts plays complimentary football. But those are my teams at 8-7. It is now time to get into number 6.
Number 6.
Once again, this is our top 10 NFL Power Rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. So, Cade, I am going to punish Indianapolis and put them here at
number 6.
It's a bad loss to the Steelers. It's on the road. I'll listen to the, hey, they were due. But I took that Pittsburgh over this year of 9.5. I need them to win 10 games. I don't think that's going to hit. I think this was one of those classic games, Cade, where Mike Tomlin, you know, proves he's a great coach working with a whole lot of nothing. Now, I know a ton of Steeler fans, including my best friend Gomer. Those are fighting words because they've wanted Mike Tomlin sacked for the better half of 5 years. But I do think Tomlin's a great coach, and I think this was one of those games where he proved it. I still think Indianapolis is a contender in the AFC, but I have to punish them for losing to a team who I think in Pittsburgh could be one of the worst teams to make the playoffs. I do think that they are going to win the division, though, because I think Baltimore, I know they're 3-5, and I know they're looking well. And if you go and look at the Hard Rock Bet odds, you know, they're the favorite to win that division. But I think Pittsburgh, and as crazy as this sounds, in that division that's bad this year, that division has produced 2 playoff teams since 2017. But it's a rough division. I got to punish them for losing to the Steelers. Cade, your thoughts.
What was the team that you said you're scared of hitting your 9.5 over? The Colts?
No.
Or the Steelers?
The Steelers.
The Steelers, okay.
Or as I call them, the Squealers.
The Squealers. 100%.
But this was a big win for that. You know, my buddy Gomer, the Steeler fan, he texted me. He said, Riz, you might get it. I said, let's pump the brakes. A lot of time here. But this is a classic Mike Tomlin game, Cade, where he beats a team that's better than him.
I think it's a classic Daniel Jones game.
Indiana Jones would be great.
I think it's just a classic game that we're known for him seeing. I'm not saying that is who he is now, but a little bit of his past crept up on him on Sunday where he got down early and didn't exactly know how to handle himself.
He did have a rushing touchdown in the game, too. The Colts actually went out to a 7-0 lead early. in Pittsburgh, but they were unable to get that win. 27-20, you know, it was a one-score game, and to Cade's credit, a couple of chances for Danny Dimes in that game. Let's move on to number five.
Number five.
I'm going New England. New England at five. They squeaked by the Falcons 24-23 in one of the better games of Sunday. My partner Colin Russo talked a lot about this game on Monday, reacting to that NFL slate. I kind of felt for the Falcons in that game, Cade. I thought they did enough good things to win that game.
Missed extra point. Could have gone to OT.
I know. And if you're Mike Vrabel, you know, you're kissing the ground. You know, those games get you into the playoffs. Winning those kind of games, those close games, I feel like get you into the playoffs. And New England sitting at 7-2 with what seems like their future figured out with Drake May and Mike Vrabel. By the way, love Vrabel, Northeast Ohio guy and a Buckeye. They are
number five.
Let's move on to
number four.
Now, Cade, you're going to get angry with me here because this is your best team in the NFL. I'm putting the Rams at four. They beat the Saints 34-10. They're sitting at 6-2 on the season. They're the second best team for me in my top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. They're the second best team, ranked team rather, in the NFC. They're checking in at four for me. I'll get to the teams that I have higher than them, obviously, in just a second. But they were expected to beat the Saints. This was a game for a little bit. I mean, geez, I took the Rams in the Survivor this past week, and Cade, oh God, if you only knew who I'm going with in the Survivor this week. I'll tell you in later segments. But it was 20-10 for a little bit. They obviously figured things out 134-10. Cade, I am putting the Rams at number four. I know you will not be happy with me.
I mean, it's all kind of a toss-up right now because everyone's got two losses.
Right.
I just look at their wins, and there's a lot more blowouts for the Rams, and I think I can trust them in the playoffs more. But as we sit right now, a lot of these teams are toss-ups. They're in their top four. I can't be too upset.
And this is, and to Cade's credit, what he said earlier in the show, it's a team that knows how to win in the playoffs. It's a team with their coach Sean McVay and quarterback Matt Stafford that are, you know, they got rings. What does Drake say? They got big rings, mate. So tough, tough break for the Rams, but they're at four now.
Number three.
On a lot of lists, Cade, no names, please, lists from other outlets. A lot of people had this team number one, but I am
number three,
putting the Buffalo Bills at three. I mentioned it is the most impressive win over the weekend, winning in Arrowhead. Mahomes didn't play well in the game. Fine. But, and I know the regular season record, Katie, brought up a good point. Buffalo owns them in the regular. That's a house. I don't care what you say. That's a house of horrors for that team. The season has come to an end too many times in that building for me. And watching, and I can only imagine how Bill fans feel about playing in Arrowhead. That's a house of horrors for them. That's a huge win. But I am going to put them at three because I think the other two teams have just, they've gotten a better track record throughout the season. And I mentioned, one through eight are teams that have two losses. It's hard to separate these teams right now. It really is. But
number two.
For me, number two is Denver. The team that is playing tonight on Thursday Night Football, the Denver Broncos are number two. They've rattled six wins off in a row. Granted, is it against the top-tier competition? Probably not. But six in a row in this league is very hard to do. I don't care who you play. Six in a row in the NFL is very hard to do. Give credit to Sean Payton. Give credit to Bo Nix. Has the offense looked great? No. But they're riding one of the best defenses I've seen, you know, throughout the season, without their best player on the defense in Sertan in the last couple of games. Give the team some credit. They're at number two. And then at number one.
Number one.
I mentioned that this is, and once again, 888-760-3776. If you want to chime in, who's your best team in the NFL right now? My best team in the NFL is Seattle. They've punched all the right buttons so far before the season and during the season. They have a great defense, and they have one of the best offenses in the NFL. Cade mentioned that two running back room led by Kenneth Walker. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who leads the NFL in receiving, who really has turned the corner since DK Metcalf went out of town. And oh, by the way, they got a second-round pick for DK Metcalf. That's a player who's probably going to come in and have an immediate impact on a winning football team next year. First and second round picks are a premium in this league. And to get rid of a great, and listen, DK is a good player. This isn't me sitting here going, oh, Metcalf was the issue. No. But it opened the door for Smith and Jigba, who looks like one of the better receivers in the NFL. Top three receiver in the NFL, bar none right now. And then the big move, Sam Darnold. You know, I question it. I did. We all did. You know, Geno Smith, the question was, what is the difference between Geno Smith and Sam Darnold? I didn't have an answer for you in August, but I think I do now. I think Sam Darnold was the better move. Now, Geno, let's give him credit. He got a second contract in Seattle, and then he got a new contract when he got traded to the Raiders. He played good enough to get paid twice. Before Geno went to Seattle, he was an afterthought. Seattle's a good run, a quietly good run organization. When they signed Geno Smith, I went, what? You signed who? That guy's still in the league, is what I was saying. That year, he threw for 4,000 yards and was one of the comeback players of the year. And it's been a pretty good player for Seattle. Gets traded, and now they bring in Sam Darnold. They got him on a tremendous contract, too. They got Darnold on a team-friendly contract. Okay, they're number one to me right now for what they've been able to do, obviously being 6-2 and blowing the doors off of the Commanders on Monday Night Football. That's the most recent, you know, recency bias. That's the most recent game I have to look at where Sam Darnold slung the ball for, what, four touchdowns in the first half. But give me Seattle at this point for what they've done in the season and what they did before the season.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle's my number two right now, and those two teams play in 2 weeks. So we're going to really see who owns the NFC West.
Folks, that was our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. They are your, they are the number one relocation solution for you, your family, and whoever you might be moving. If you're moving your kids, you're moving a kid from college, call Good Greek. They'll take care of you. My friend Spiro, they will take care of you over at Good Greek Moving and Storage. Once again, let's go through the top 10. Number 10, Kansas City. Number 9, Detroit. Number 8, Tampa Bay. Number 7, Philadelphia. Number 6, Indianapolis. Number 5, New England. Number 4, the Rams. Number 3, Buffalo. Number 2, Denver. Number 1, Seattle.
Number 1.
Got to be the Seahawks for me. And then obviously we're going to be seeing
number 2
coming up tonight. We got Denver and Las Vegas at Mile High on the road. Going to be a lot of fun, I think, watching that one. I'm hoping to see some snow. You know, I'm hoping to see some snow there in Denver. I heard it's going to be quite the frigid night. Once again, from our program director, Brian Rowe, it's big Raider fan who is going to be on site for that one. Let's take a time out here. And when we come back, Kirk Ferentz, head coach of Iowa, joined the Rich Eisen Show and had some interesting things to say about the current landscape of college football and coaches being fired at big-time universities. All that coming up next on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Welcome on back, folks. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Mike Rizzo and Kate Chumslin on the show today. 888-760-3776 is that number to call on in. I'm asking today, who is your best team in the NFL right now? We just did our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. 1-8 all have 2 losses. All 2-loss football teams. A lot of similar teams. Who's separating themselves in your mind? 888-760-3776. Kate, I do want to talk a little college football because, you know, I've been out. You've mentioned, you alluded to me being out the last couple of days. I missed the day, Tuesday, or rather yesterday, the reaction to Colin and what the what his thoughts were on the college football top 25, the college football playoff, committee top 25. I think it was kind of properly ranked. I did think Miami got punished maybe a little bit too much. You know, I think there are a couple other teams in the top 25 that aren't as good as Miami. Now, I'm not saying put Miami 12. They're on the outside looking in after losing to SMU, but that would probably That would probably be my big takeaway, was that they really punished Miami for losing to SMU. But we've seen in college football this season, a ton of coaches have been fired at big time programs. I'll bring up the list of exactly which programs have head coach openings right now, and a lot of them are big time openings. But while I do that, let's take a listen to Kirk Ferentz. Kirk Ferentz is the head coach of Iowa, of Hawkeye football. I knew a lot of Iowa fans working in Peoria, Illinois for 3 years. A lot of people in Peoria and Illinois go to school in Iowa. I met a lot of Hawkeye fans. And the Hawkeyes are completely content with where they're at. Losing 2 games, losing 3 games every year, and playing in a New Year's Six Bowl. And I think Kirk Ferentz has a good little thing going right now with Iowa, where he's allowed to get away with losing some games. But he explained on the Rich Eisen show that it's not exactly like that for other big-time schools in the NCAA. Let's take a listen to Kirk Ferentz and his thoughts on the current landscape of head coaches being fired in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, unfortunately, a sad reflection of our the world we're in right now, and we're not going to change it, certainly. All of us that follow college sports, and I know you do, and you know, you're on a couple different levels, pros and what have you, but I spent 6 years in the NFL. In a lot of ways, we've become the NFL, although, you know, we lack some of the good things the NFL has. Start with the salary cap, start with, you know, clear enforcement and consistent enforcement of rules and regulations. You know, so we don't do that. But, you know, but a lot of the bad things that come with that have crept into our existence. I think it's a really clear message right now for everybody involved in this, is you better win, and you better win now.
Yeah, better win, and you better win now. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned Ferentz he doesn't fall under that category. Iowa fans are completely fine with being, and listen, you could call me a spoiled brat Ohio State fan all you want. They're never winning the Big Ten, by the way. Iowa will never win the Big Ten. Will they lose 2-3 games and maybe be considered for that godforsaken game in Indianapolis at the end of the year? Sure. But they're not better than Oregon. Dare I say, on their best day, they're not even better than Penn State. Now, Penn State lost to Iowa by a point, and they're a mess this year. But you get what I'm saying. They are not an upper echelon Big Ten team. They are a mediocre Big Ten team that has gotten away with being mediocre for a very long time. A lot of it had to do with the East versus West in the Big Ten. Iowa ran that god-awful West division for years after we saw the decline of Wisconsin, after Crist left, and certainly after Bielma left. But Iowa has always won that West side and played in that game against the East and either A, gotten the doors blown off them, or B, played a brand of football that's like watching paint dry. Iowa produces 2 things in their football program: tight ends and punters. Forget about the rest. But he is right. Even though he doesn't fall under this category, he is right that you got to win, man. With what the 12-team college football playoff has done, folks, it's putting the pressure on programs like LSU, Penn State, Florida, who have vacancies. And the reason they have vacancies is because they look at their coaches and their team and go, how the hell aren't we one of the 12 best teams? It's fair. For me, it's completely fair. And especially with how much money some of these coaches are making. Like, what, am I going to feel bad for James Franklin, who's making like, what, $20,000 an hour and $100,000 a day? No, absolutely not. But I do feel bad for some of the fan bases, like LSU, like Penn State, who have been just, you know, and you can't see me on the YouTube chat, and you can't even see on the YouTube stream, but you can't even see me on the stream because I'm moving my feet. You're stuck in the mud. You're stuck in the mud. Penn State's been stuck in the mud for years with James Franklin, not winning the big one. LSU has been stuck in the mud since 2019. And let's give them some credit. In 2019, I was one of Ed Orgeron had arguably the best college football team ever constructed with that defense and offense. And offense, by the way, led by Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Okay, just for a few names. But they've been irrelevant. They've been irrelevant. It's 2025. They've been irrelevant for 6 years. They've not been back to the college football playoff in 6 years. We're talking about LSU. I'll listen to, hey, in a 4-team, it's hard. And even as a Buckeye fan, like, we wouldn't have made the 4-team playoff last year. The team that won the national championship last year would not have made that godforsaken 14 college football playoff, which is why I love that they expanded. And what Coach Ferentz is telling you there on the Rich Eisen show is that with it expanding, you better win. Kate, I'm fine with those expectations. I am. It puts the pressure on programs to be consistently good, and maybe they'll think about signing a coach to a 10-year, $100 million guaranteed contract.
You're on a year-to-year basis if you're a head coach in the SEC or Big Ten, in my opinion. You need to be winning. You need to be winning now, and especially with rosters that you're able to recruit. With NIL now, you should be able to get whatever high school player you want, whatever transfer player you want, construct your roster, and then go win with it. There is a big difference for an ACC school like Georgia Tech to be able to take their roster and go win big games than it is for an LSU to take their roster and go win big games. One is a surprise and an amazing feeling for a fan base. The other is another day at the office. Mm-hmm. And until the playoffs start, you need to be winning all of those games. It's a problem that Alabama is only 7-1. It's a problem that Ole Miss is 8-1 because they should be with Texas A&M, Indiana, and Ohio State right now.
And Kate, I'll even play from this angle. LSU looks at Ole Miss and goes, how the hell are they better than us? LSU, and how the hell did we lose to them, right? I mean, Brian Kelly lost to Ole Miss. LSU looks at Texas A&M and goes, wait a minute. We dominated them for two decades. They're undefeated. They're third. They got the new hot head coach in Mike Elko. Didn't they just fire Jimbo Fisher and bought him out for about $100 million? Ferentz is right. You got to win.
Can I call back a quote from Brian Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember after the Florida game and a reporter asked him about the inefficiencies on offense? And Brian Kelly answered, I don't have the sound, but he basically said, why are you asking me about things we did wrong when we just won a ball game in a tough environment, because it was at the Swamp,
yep,
in a tough environment, an SEC road game. Why aren't we talking about how much those kids worked their butts off to win that football game? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because you're at LSU, Brian Kelly, and it's because if you're not looking your best, you're going to eventually lose and get out of the 12-team playoff and now lose your job. What do you think he's thinking now? Mm-hmm. What do you think he's thinking now when his team did work their butts off to lose football games because he didn't probably make sure that offense was tip-top shape, especially to the media? It's okay to kind of turn down your players a little bit if they're not playing their best. Mm-hmm.
So, partner, you're thinking of Clemson week one, by the way. They won at Clemson. They played Florida at home. But regardless, doesn't matter who they played. You're absolutely right. And the reason he said all that is because he finally, in his eyes, won a big game, right? Brian Kelly, in that first game, for the 3 years, this was year four, by the way, of Brian Kelly. Cade, the 3 years he's been there, he started 0-1. And remember what it was, Florida State for 2 years, and then USC last year. And then they beat Clemson, by the way, who has, what, like six losses at this point? No, Clemson, who turns out they stink, but that was him defending himself of, hey, we finally won a big game. I don't want to hear it. Hindsight 2020, it wasn't a big game. Those offensive issues carried over into weeks into the future, and that's why you got the sack. That's why you don't have a job right now. And like the vacancies that are open, the big ones that are open, Penn State, LSU, Florida, right?
I would throw Auburn in that mix too.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze and God, I'll tell you what,
it's
poor
an
Auburn.
SEC program that has success.
I say poor Auburn, maybe they have not. Gene Chizik and Cam Newton. You know, actually, let's give him credit. Gus Malzahn, 2013, for all intents and purposes, 2013, when they lost to Florida State in the national championship game. That's the last time. Okay, that was 12 years ago. Auburn hadn't been relevant in 12 years, but I understand. All these things, like, who's, do you think any of those teams hire Brian Kelly? I don't think so. I think Brian Kelly goes to a smaller team. You know, maybe a Virginia Tech. You know, James Franklin has been rumbled about going to Virginia Tech. We'll have to wait and see how these things shake out.
If Florida State is open at the end of the year, that's another school I could see him at.
It's a disgrace that Florida State isn't open right now. It's because they can't afford to be open right now. I feel for Florida State fan. I do. We have a lot of them in the office. One of my best friends growing up, Jason Donker, who moved to Florida when we were like eighth grade, Cade. We kept in contact, obviously, but he went to Florida State like... That is just, you look at a Florida State fan and just go, God, I never want to be you. Like me being an Ohio State fan, I can't imagine. You know, Florida State was on the level of Ohio State. Florida State was on the level of the Alabamas of the world. And like to see where that program is at right now, it's like, I pity you. I never want to be you. Because I tell this to Florida State fan, when Florida State is good, it's good for college football. And the fact that they've been in the mud for so long, it stinks. And this next thing I'm going to say, they don't want to hear either, but it all started when you didn't play anybody against Georgia. That's when it all started. That was the downfall of old Mikey Norvell.
If you really want to hear Rizzo rant, just head over to our Instagram page or YouTube Shorts page, because there is a beautiful Mike Rizzo rant on the Florida State situation.
Yeah, it's a shame. And I blame the coach. I blame Norvell. I do, who had all the assets to win, gave him NIL money, and he's just fallen on his face the last 2 years. But folks, 888-760-3776. We got to take a timeout. Long overdue for a timeout. We'll hit the 5 at 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union coming up next. But listen, download that ESPN South Florida app, folks, because that's your one-stop shop for ESPN 106.3. If you want to listen back to Theoretically Speaking with Theo Dorsey and Christian Katt, it's on the app. If you want to listen back to Russo and Rizzo with myself, Colin Russo, and Christian Katt, it's on the app. If you missed what Tina was saying on the happy hour with Tina, you could go back and listen on the app. Enter Miami football, Miami football. It's all there on the app. We are the new Palm Beach home for the Florida Panthers as well. You can listen to the Panthers right there on the app. So download the ESPN South Florida app today. Your one-stop shop for all of your South Florida sports. Mike Rizzo, Kate Chumsland, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.